Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good evening. Good afternoon. Excuse me. Good afternoon. I start the show in the evening. Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. At the end of World War II, for decades to follow, there were Japanese fighters who refused to believe the war was over. They just wouldn't surrender. And every now and then, in the backwoods of some island in the Pacific, Americans or British or any non-Japanese had to be nervous, because you never knew when one of these fighters, refusing to accept that the Empire of Japan had surrendered, was going to keep attacking. In fact, the last fighter of World War II, I believe, finally surrendered, I think it was 1972. It was way later than World War II, and only when basically they found his old superior officer and got him to tell him to stand down. Well, it appears that there's a Kentucky clerk in Rowan County, Kentucky, who likewise refuses to believe that her war against gay people is over. The United States Supreme Court ruled, of course, way back in June that the right to marry was a constitutional right and that constitutional rights are available to all American citizens, even the gay ones, even the lesbian ones. Kim Davis doesn't like that. She has a religious belief that that the state of Kentucky, her religious belief has got nothing to do with her own particular religion. Her religious belief is that the state must follow her orders. That's a significant importance. Lots of people have religious beliefs that they can only eat certain foods, or they have to pray a certain way, or that they themselves shouldn't do certain things. But Kim Davis's religious belief is that the state of Kentucky is ordered by God not to give equal rights to gay couples, not to allow lesbian couples to marry. Now, she is an elected official. No one is forced to marry a gay or lesbian couple. But if you work for the state and your job is to marry couples, then indeed you have to marry couples. Well, Kim Davis doesn't like that. She is suing, saying she has a religious right to force the entire state of Kentucky, and really the entire United States, to bow down to her particular religious dictates.
What?
That's what she wants. That's all she wants. That's all she wants. It's a very modest proposal. She simply wants to say that she and any other clerk in the United States just doesn't have to obey the U.S. Supreme Court, doesn't have to do equality under the law. In many ways, she reminds me of Governor Orville Faubus standing in front of the Arkansas public school and defying the will of the United States Supreme Court until President Eisenhower nationalized the Arkansas National Guard, who pushed their governor aside because they recognized they had to obey higher authority. Well, Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis, who lives in the capital seat of Morehead, Kentucky, is not only refusing to issue marriage licenses, she's refusing to allow anyone else in her county to issue marriage licenses because they have her name on it as the county clerk. I wonder if the Treasury Secretary can order you not to spend any money because, well, the Treasury Secretary doesn't like you, and the Treasury Secretary's signature is on your dollar bill. That's kind of what she's doing. Well, it won't surprise you to learn that she's losing in court after court. The district court ordered her to do it. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered her to do it. And now she's appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court. But the stay ends today. Today, August 31st, 2015, she's got to do it. And if she doesn't do it, the question is, what's going to happen? Well, if she doesn't do it, she'll be held in contempt. Contempt is the way that courts enforce their rulings. If you owe money, they, you know, can take your money. But if you have to do something or not do something, then the courts say, do this or don't do this. And if you refuse to obey the courts, well, they hold you in contempt. And that means they can put you in jail until you do what you're required to do by law. Now, Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis has an easy option if she doesn't want to go to jail. Resign her office. You know, not everyone is fit to be a county clerk. This woman has to, for her $80,000 job, fill out marriage certificates approximately 1 hour a week. And if that's too much for her to handle, and by the way, to be fair, because this, the U.S. Supreme Court said she can't discriminate against gay and lesbian couples, she's being fair and not giving anyone a marriage license. You cannot get married under Rowan County, Kentucky, right now, straight or gay. No marriage is allowed. And she thinks she has the right, even though she's got this state job, this $80,000 state job, to just not do her job because of her apostolic gospel tradition, apostolic Christian tradition. Here's the thing. The easy answer is just fire her. But you can't do that because she's an elected official. She's elected by the people. She's serving a 4-year term. And she's only about 6 months into it. And she has said that she's not going to allow anyone to get married in Rowan County for the next 3.5 years. She said, you want to get married? Just leave the county. Of course, the appellate court said, well, the problem with that argument is that if she wins based on her view, well, then the counties around could win based on their view. And then every county could do it based on their view. And suddenly, you've denied the right. It's kind of like saying to the blacks who wanted to integrate the University of Arkansas, James Meredith, you know, James, go to New York. You know, just leave your home state. Some state will be nice to you, we think, we hope. And if all states close their doors, we'll worry about it then. Well, obviously, she can't do that. And if you've seen any of the video of the couples coming in again and again, and basically they're being turned away, this is the last redoubt. This reminds me of the last Japanese soldier in World War II, decades after the war is gone, still fighting. And she says, look, I have a right of conscience to do whatever I want. I can believe whatever I want. And if my belief means that I have to deprive people of their constitutional rights, that's just what I'm going to do. And if my belief means that I have to require the entire state of Kentucky and the entire United States to ignore the Constitution and do my bidding, who cares what the U.S. Supreme Court says? I'm a Rowan County court clerk, and what I say goes. Well, obviously the woman's not doing her job. In fact, she's doing more than not doing her job. She is flouting her authority to disobey the Constitution, to keep people from exercising their constitutional rights. Let's say you've got a DMV, a person who works for the Department of Motor Vehicles. And let's say the Department of Motor Vehicles is open on that person's Sabbath day. Okay? And that person refuses to work on the Sabbath day based on their religion. Well, you might be able to find a way to work around that. Right? You go around and you say, okay, we won't make you work on Saturday or Sunday or Friday or whenever your Sabbath day is. There are ways around it. But let's say you have the head of the DMV, the head of the Department of Motor Vehicles, who says, I'm Amish. It's against my religion to drive, and it's against my religion to allow anyone else to drive. Driving violates my religion. And I won't be any part of helping people drive. I'm not going to shoot people who drive, but I'm not going to allow them to have a driver's license with my name on it. And on the law, the DMV official has to sign every license. And I'm going to order everyone working for me at the DMV not to issue driver's licenses because it's against my religion. That would be the heart of what Kim Davis is asking for. So it's going up to the Supreme Court. I have no doubt that she'll lose. My real question will be, what's going to happen to her? Will she go to jail? Will she resign? You would think that between going to jail and resigning, she would just resign. But it's an interesting case. It's an interesting case, not because I doubt that the final result will be that everyone will get their constitutional rights upheld. It's interesting because it shows, well, the limits of how far some people will go and how far the law has to go to make people do what's required by law. And the worst, I guess, is that she's a public servant. Public servants are held to higher standards than private people, and that's the way it should be. So I'll keep you informed as to what happens with Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis. If you want to call in, toll-free number is 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
By the end of today, we will find out whether a Rowan County clerk in Kentucky will have to obey the law. One thing, a couple things you should know about this Rowan County clerk. One is that she has already married a couple two people born as women. She married a woman and a female to male transgendered man. A man that was born a woman. Apparently, she didn't know that the man was born a woman. They applied. She already married them. So that's happened. But more interesting, because obviously I support the transgender marriage. Obviously, more interesting than all of that, I think, is the fact that this woman standing up for marriage, standing up for the sacrosanctness of marriage, and defending her right to prevent all people from being married in Rowan County, has herself been married four times. So, you know, she'd think you could let other people be married once. Anyway, the case is interesting, I think, because it shows the limits of the law. And it shows what happens when people defy the court. And I have no doubt that by tomorrow, and I'll report on this tomorrow, this woman will either be out of office or in jail or at the very least up before a court hearing on contempt. Let's hope that she does the right thing. Speaking of doing the right thing, I want to also talk about what happened in Virginia. We talked a little bit about this last week. But most of you know the murder that occurred on live camera of a film crew. The father of Allison Parker, the journalist who was so brutally murdered in cold blood on live camera, has called on Virginia to, and the U.S. Congress and the federal government, to pass laws to make it harder for people to get guns. And I, in fact, just let him know and let his representative know that I want to do everything I could to make that happen. Whenever you have the debate about guns come up, you always hear those that want to have a gun. They say, well, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And let me say this. I think they're partly right. Guns without people don't do very much. But you know what's also true? People without guns don't do very much. If you've got a psycho, violently deranged, mentally ill person, and all they have is their fists, or even a knife, they're just not going to be able to kill as many people as easily as someone with a gun. It's simply less effective. It's hard to knife someone to death. Frankly, very hard to knife two people to death. And with your fists, it's not that easy to kill someone. So, if you really believe that guns don't kill people, people kill people, you really believe that people plus guns equals murder. It's people with guns. You could take away the people. If we had no people, there'd be no shootings. Or you can take away the guns, because it does require both. And if you say, Mark, they're just going to find some way to kill, let's give them all the best killing tools available because it just doesn't matter, then I say you need to expand your argument. If the argument is we need to give crazy people, insane, deranged people, we need to give terrorists, we need to give those who are violent by nature. And remember, this guy got people so scared that on the day they fired him, everyone locked themselves up in a room and called 911 because they were so nervous of how volatile he'd be when he was asked to leave. That's not ordinary behavior. Most employers don't fear someone they fire enough to do that. So if we're going to allow these dangerous people to do whatever they want, have whatever weapons they want, then I say, let them have tanks. Let them have tanks. And if you say, well, Mark, how could we let these volatile people have tanks? I say, tanks don't kill people. People kill people, right? A tank on its own does no damage at all. Let's give everyone a tank and just get rid of the people. It's the same argument as those, as the NRA makes. And why stop at tanks? We need to make sure that everyone has access to anthrax and arsenic and all kinds of poisons so that it's easier to kill. We need to make it easier to kill people because that's what the NRA wants. They want to make murder easy. Why should murder be so difficult? It should be easier to murder lots of people. That's what you believe if you don't believe in gun safety regulation. If you don't support universal background checks, you are trying to make murder easier. That's your goal. And if that's your goal, we should let everyone have a tank. Indeed, we should just give everyone access to the nuclear bomb. After all, nukes don't kill people. People kill people. And if people are determined to kill others, we might as well just make it easier for them. In fact, we probably should just, give all the people in our prisons guns, right? Because they're the ones who most want to kill, and since the whole goal of the NRA is to make killing more easy, we should just allow all of them to have these guns. Now, if you say, but Mark, that's not the goal of the NRA. They don't want to make killing more easy. They just want to have fun with their guns. To which I say, I'm fine with responsible people having fun with guns. It's just the deranged people I don't want to have guns. It's just those that have been declared mentally ill, violently mentally ill, those who have committed felonies, those who've committed domestic violence, those who are on the terrorist watch list. If you believe that responsible people should be able to have a gun, we agree. It's only if you believe that irresponsible people should have a gun that we disagree. In the Virginia legislature last session, there was a bill to say that five-year-olds should not be able to handle a gun without parental supervision. The Republicans voted it down. They believe that five-year-olds should be able to handle a gun without parental supervision because they say, when does it stop? Well, I'd say it stops when you're 5 years old. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Let me know what you think. I'll be right back right after this. Talk about today. One is a recalcitrant Kentucky clerk continues to disobey the United States Supreme Court ruling, but her day of reckoning is today. By the end of the day, I suspect that she will either obey the court order or be found in contempt. And if she's held in contempt, well, she could either go to jail or just quit her job. She doesn't have to do the job. Not everyone is cut out to do a government job. And if she has a sincere religious opposition to doing her job, get a new job, because this job requires her to do certain things. It is not her role to set religious policy for Rowan County, for Kentucky, or for the entire United States of America. We just don't have a religious hierarchy in America, at least not one that's controlling. The second story is, of course, gun laws and what we can do to stop attacks like the recent massacre in Virginia or all the others. It's not just about what happened in my state. It happens every day in America. And increasingly, those that defend the rights of insane people to own guns, the rights of terrorists to own guns, the rights of small children to pick up a gun and play with it, are finding that they just can't defend their principles anymore. So they're mostly going into hiding. If you want to call in and you want to try defending of that, I encourage you to do so at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Old Faithful, Michael from the Bronx on line one. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm all right. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, it's a pleasure whenever I can. Let me go a little backwards here before I touch base on that Kentucky clerk.
Yeah.
First off, let's also be clear about the NRA's goals, and that is money, because they're always profiting off of these guns. That's why they keep saying more guns, more guns, and they profit off of innocent blood. And instead of taking the responsible approach as to enacting gun safety laws and gun safety reform, they want to keep saying more guns, no background checks, no questions asked, no matter what, how old the person is. I mean, this is absolutely insane. And in addition, the ones that are backing this up are complete the right-wingers. When you have somebody, but however, when you have somebody like Gabby Giffords and her husband, who are proud gun owners, but they are pushing for gun safety reform, and the right-wingers are always trash-talking them and saying they're weak, they're trying to take away the guns. Now, this just goes so far beyond the pale. Like, nobody stops and thinks that guns...
It is political. I mean, the NRA gives lots of money to a lot of politicians. They make money by having these recalcitrant ideas, and so then they pay lawmakers to do the same. I should note that whereas 90% of America, more than 90%, sometimes 91, 92%, depending on what poll you look at, 90, 91, 92% of Americans support universal background checks, even 75% of NRA members support universal background checks, because most responsible gun owners actually want to limit gun ownership to responsible gun owners. It's only a quarter of the NRA membership and less than 10% of the American populace who actually supports making sure that insane terrorists get to own guns.
And by the same token, that they don't want to be mixed in with the irresponsible or insane.
Right, exactly. And they shouldn't be. And they shouldn't be. And frankly, if you're a responsible gun owner, and you should take pride in the fact that you have to be responsible. I say, you know, take a training class, show you know what you're doing. 1/6 of all guns in America are kept unlocked and loaded, which is a really scary thing. 1/6.
Absolutely.
And that's why you should ask before your children play at someone else's house if they have a gun and is it locked up. And because accidents happen. But you wanted to say something about Kim Davis. So I want to move on and talk about that.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Kim Davis and these other county clerks, you know, once again, Mark, you've exposed the GOP hypocrisy when it comes to following the law, complying with the court orders, especially with the Supreme Court. These are the same right-wingers I understand or heard that Kim Davis is Democratic, but it still hasn't changed what I'm saying.
She's a conservative. She's a conservative. She's a right-wing conservative, whatever her party is.
But the thing is that these are the same people that when it came to Bush v. Gore, they said Supreme Court has decided, abide by it, move on. But then they don't want to comply with the same laws, the same decisions when it goes against them. Now, just like what you said about the Kim Davis implementing religious freedom, the only religious clause that she should be implying is if she needed to have off on Christmas or Good Friday or any of these religious holidays for her own personal religious observance.
I have long argued that the First Amendment to the Constitution gives you a religious shield, but not a religious sword. And it's really important to understand the difference between those. Okay, a religious shield is very important. The government and no one can force you to eat something that's against your religion. They can't force you to wear something against your religion. They can't force you to work on a specific day against your religion. On the other hand, if the job requires that, you maybe can't take the job. If your job is to run an emergency, an ambulance, and your job is to do it on Sundays, yeah, if they can work around you, fine. But if your job is, you know, you're the only ambulance driver in this small town, they need you 7 days a week, and they need you on Sundays, and you say, I can't work on Sundays, I have a religious belief, then you can't do the job, you know? And if you can't do the job, you can get another job. So we should all make accommodations. But this woman, she's basically saying that no one can get married in this entire county in Kentucky because of my religious views. She is using her religion as a sword. She's using her religion to impose her religious will on other people who don't share their religion. It's one thing to say, don't harm me. I have a religion. Don't make policy to make me do something that I don't want to do, but you can't say I'm going to use my religion to impinge on other people's constitutional rights.
Absolutely. And here's another thing, Mark. How does she or anybody else know that if there are religions that do support same-sex marriages?
Of course there are.
So you're violating other people's religious rights as well. You know, the thing is that when she and other government officials take these kind of jobs, I'm pretty sure they take an oath.
They do.
To serve those that they are working in that particular district.
No, so they take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah,
and in this case, she is violating her oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and I think anyone who violates that oath should be removed from office. Now, what's interesting is that to remove her from office, okay, they'd have to impeach her. And the Kentucky General Assembly, which is a conservative state, doesn't want to impeach and remove her from office. So this reminds me a lot of Governor Faubus of Arkansas, because the people of Arkansas, the majority, the people of Arkansas, obviously not the blacks, but the majority, the racist whites who were the majority of Arkansas back in the 1960s, supported their governor basically thumbing his nose at the Supreme Court and saying, we're not going to allow black kids to come in and integrate these schools. So President Eisenhower had to go around the governor and nationalize the National Guard. And had the governor not stepped out of the way of that doorhouse, that school doorhouse, the National Guard could have taken him and imprisoned the governor. And that may be what they have to do with her. They can't technically fire her, just like they couldn't technically fire the governor of Arkansas. You'd have to impeach him, and Arkansas didn't want to do that. But they can physically remove him from office. They could physically remove him from the courthouse door. And what they can do is physically remove her and put her in jail until she complies with the law. And I fully expect that to happen, whether it's a jail or a fine or whatever it is. I expect the courts to make things increasingly painful for her until she leaves her job or does her job.
And she should face federal civil rights violation charges as well, because what it comes down to is that she is violating the civil rights of people that want to apply for marriage licenses. And no matter how you slice it and dice it, Mark, this is pure discrimination, and discrimination is a form of hate. So anybody who has the gall, and this is for me, being a black man and being a Christian, anybody has the gall to want to cite the Christian beliefs and define the Christian religion that teaches about love and respecting the rights of others and want to misuse it. Number one, you're not being Christian. And number two, you sure as hell and not following the laws and the Constitution of the United States, which pretty much follows the same values.
So the beauty of the First Amendment is that we're all allowed to practice our own religions. And she could practice her religion. She doesn't have to marry a woman if she doesn't want to. She doesn't have to perform a religious marriage if she doesn't want to. She doesn't have to serve in public office if she doesn't want to. Not a single person is ever required to be an elected official. That is a choice. And she doesn't have to make that choice.
So, and I just said all, and I'm sorry, Mark, I just said all that just to decrease or to, like I say, red flag their credibility and integrity.
Yeah.
In terms of their religious rights arguments, because, you know, quite frankly, they're not following the religion.
They can claim any religion they want. I mean, the Ku Klux Klan burns a cross. Obviously, I don't think that's got anything to do with Christianity, but in their perverted minds, I guess it does. But so you can claim whatever religion you want. You can worship the flying spaghetti monster for all I care. But you can't worship the flying spaghetti monster so much that you punish people who don't believe in your flying spaghetti monster. Anyway, thanks for your call, Michael.
Thanks,
always appreciate
Matt.
When you call in. Folks, you want to join the conversation, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it Super Nerd? No, it's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Talking about a renegade clerk in Kentucky and why we need better gun laws, frankly. Let's go to Trevor in Massachusetts on line one. Hey, Trevor, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Mark? I spoke to you last week.
I remember.
I am not an NRA gun nut. I am not a conservative. I am pro-choice. I am in all kinds of ways socially what would be considered liberal.
Okay.
But I'm having a hard time understanding how you get this so wrong, so I want to debate about that.
Okay, which one? Which issue? Guns or the clerk?
On the guns, yes.
I agree
with you 100% about the woman in Kentucky.
Okay, let's talk about guns then. What's your problem?
So, number one, you keep describing these guns as offensive things, and it's true, guns can be used as offensive. But you described the gun problem in terms of how do we stop people from killing people with guns.
Right.
About the same amount of people die a year from car accidents, from drunk driving.
Not from drunk driving, but it is true that from all car accidents, it's second, actually, to guns. Used to be more people died from cars than guns, but cars kept getting safer and our gun crimes kept getting worse. So now actually guns is slightly worse than cars. But you're right. About 30,000 die each year from cars and a little over 30,000 each year die at the hand of guns. So the point is this, Trevor. I see cars as necessary to live in modern society. Virtually all of us use them. I use them. I'd say 95% of us use them, adults. We go to school. We go to work. We, in a modern society, sure, I like public transit, but cars are pretty necessary to survive in modern society. We should have safety laws. We should punish people who misuse cars, and we should make people take a driving test before they get into cars, but I'm not ready to ban cars. I don't see guns as having the same social utility that cars do. I don't.
Let's compare that to the modern transportation. Compared to modern self-defense. So we haven't gotten so modern that individuals, and I'm not talking any particular constituency, I just mean the average Joe should not be restricted from being able to defend himself.
So what if the average Joe doesn't know how to defend himself with a gun? What if the average Joe has zero training? Can you agree with me that the average Joe who has zero training and maybe wants to kill his wife maybe shouldn't have access to a gun? How about if we restrict guns to people who've had training and people who haven't been convicted of a violent felony and people who aren't on the terrorist watch list and people who we have no reason to believe are insane? How about if we restrict them to that?
I completely agree that a gun is dangerous enough that you should learn how to use it, just like a sword would be.
Absolutely, or a car, or a car.
Well, what I'm saying is that the gun laws that we have make sense to the extent of getting people to be licensed to use one.
How about if you and I agree,
so when
Trevor?
Describing how to make gun laws to stop somebody from using them offensively, such a thing couldn't exist. This guy that killed these people the other day, he was a law-abiding citizen the day before.
Well, except that he got so angry at one point that people had to lock themselves in their newsroom and call 911.
That's not against the law.
But here's the thing, Trevor. Can you and I agree that there should be some kind of mandatory minimum training, just like you have to get a license to drive a car, that you should have to pass a minimum test in order to own a gun? Can we agree on that?
We can agree on that.
Okay. Well, then I'll tell you, Trevor, we're not that far apart.
And well, that's the fun part. I'm not claiming I'm going to stop all gun crimes. Maybe not even the guy in Virginia.
I really want you to understand my perspective, so please forgive me if I make this extra personal.
Okay.
Your family, Mark,
yeah,
should be able to defend itself. And if you ask your parents and parents before them, they weren't always able to defend themselves, and sometimes they had to find other people to defend them. I'm saying that we can't come up with laws that certain people decide who is worthy of defending themselves and who is not. I go in certain rooms as a black man, and people get afraid of me. Because everybody is of the consensus that I'm somebody they should be afraid of, and they decide that I can't defend myself.
Trevor, let me say this. I do not oppose responsible gun owners from having a gun to defend themselves. But I do know the statistics. And I know the statistics that show that if you have a gun in your home, it is between 12 and 40 more times more likely to be used against you or a member of your family than against an intruder. So a lot of people believe that these things, you know, are good things and they need to protect themselves. But I would say get mace, right? You can defend yourself pretty well with mace. It sprays. And nobody dies. Again, I'm not taking away your right, Trevor. I think you do have a right, responsible gun owner. But I can tell you, for me and my family, that's not a right I'd want anywhere near my family. Thanks for calling, Trevor. I'll tell you what. You want to call in? I got some other callers I want to get to. I'm more than happy to continue this conversation tomorrow. Just call back in tomorrow, all right? Thanks for calling in. Let me go to John from California, line 3. Hey, John.
Hi, Mark. I got to say, I own quite a few guns in California. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I don't have a problem with the laws here. And we don't seem to have a problem so much so with guns, although we have recently.
Relatively restrictive gun laws in California.
Pardon?
You have relatively restrictive gun laws in California. You have to get a license, right?
For a pistol, you do.
Right.
ARs. You can go and get an AR. And there's nothing required for that other than the purchase and the background check and the weight.
But everyone knows. Well, let me ask you this. Can you get one on the Internet? Because that's one of my concerns, is that people get these very dangerous weapons on the Internet and they get around the background checks that way.
Yes, and you can do that. And the way it's done is you would have to purchase an unfinished receiver. That's known as the lower end for an AR. You can also get them for AKs. I've seen them.
Yeah. Well, can you and I agree with me that loophole needs to be closed so that everyone
Absolutely.
Has to undergo a background check?
Absolutely.
So you're a responsible gun owner, John. I have no problem with you. And I'm with Trevor either. You're a responsible gun owner. You want to restrict gun ownership to responsible people. I have no problem with that. My problem is the...
I'm calling because I disagree.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. No. That's all good. I would hope that more gun owners can recognize the difference between responsible and irresponsible gun ownership. And there is a middle position here. There are not that many liberals that want to ban all the guns. And I don't think there are many gun owners that want to make sure that every insane terrorist owns a gun. I think there's a middle ground here. And that is to allow responsible gun owners to have guns and make sure. So this seems like a background check and some kind of licensing aspect, much like we do for cars, that you're going to handle it safely. And that you also, you know, don't leave it unlocked and loaded around your kids. And I think if you do, then that's a crime. You know, if you leave your kids in a house with a fire, right, knowingly doing that, that's
a crime. You shouldn't be able to leave your kids in a house with an unloaded, locked, with a loaded, unlocked gun. That you know, but basic stuff like that. And I don't think you disagree with me. I think you're fine with that, right?
No, and I did make a mistake. California does now require that you get a long gun safety certificate now.
Okay, well, good.
Which is not a big deal, but, you know, it's not a hard test.
It's probably not harder than me getting a driver's license, right? It's probably about the same.
Far harder. But, you know, the point being is, in no way do I really feel that restricted. And I don't know anybody that really does.
I appreciate your call, John. There are responsible gun owners out there, folks. We just heard from two of them. We heard from Trevor and John. There's nothing wrong with being a responsible gun owner, but you got to be careful. It's a very dangerous weapon. Be careful. The problem is when the responsible gun owners want to allow the irresponsible people to have guns. Then all of us have a problem. This is Mark Levine. I'll be back tomorrow. If you want to follow me on Twitter, go to @MarkLevineTalk.